into this hour where we can show you that Christianity can be practical, for there is a possible dream for you, a possible dream for all of us. So come now. Come and enter in with us in these moments and walk a path that will lead you upward into joy and happiness and healing and prosperity. Come and join now into this hour with love and Jesus Christ. Invite you to join with us here, whatever part of the Christian church you're from. Or maybe you're a person that has not attended church in a long time. If only we could take away the curtains and the things that veil the real Christian message. Take away the ideas of fear and doubt. Take away the baptismal rites and the christenings, or if we will serve communion with water or wine or grape juice, take away all of the things that divide us and bring us into a oneness. And I invite you to come into an hour of unity and oneness. Come with us now. Put aside all your preconceived ideas about what you've been taught Christianity to be, and listen to the simplicity and the practical ability of just the words and the concepts of the Master. The lesson this morning is entitled, Your Possible Dream. I know we hear a great deal about the impossibility of so many things in this day and age, but I want to remind us, and I want to tell you, that there is a possible dream available to you. I was reminded of this a few days ago in listening in my car, in the radio in the car, to a minister, a religious program. I often listen to religious programs as I'm driving along. I want to just keep up to see what the other guys are doing, you know. Keep up to date. But he was talking about the scriptural verse where, remember, Jesus said, "Be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." And he went on to say that Jesus gave us impossible concepts and ideals to live by. Why? You can imagine this upset me. Not upset me, but I was concerned to think that someone was saying that it was impossible to live up to the ideals of Jesus. Then what's the use of teaching them? He went on to say, and he was a very sincere minister, he went on to say that the high ideals of Jesus, why, the idea of forgiveness, the idea of love, the idea of losing yourself for His sake, the idea of turning the other cheek, and even to learning to love your enemies, Well, he did say this was all impossible. He said, this is an impossible dream. Especially is it an impossible dream if you are a weak, sinning human being. There is no doubt, he said as he went on, that this world, these teachings could never really be lived. They could never be brought forth as the Master taught them. And then he said, well, what's heaven for anyway, once we get through with this very sinful and imperfect world? Well, I had to disagree with this very fine, sincere minister. And yet this is a teaching that is taught to us again and again. It was taught to me in my early childhood. At one time, I even served in another part of the church where you opened up the prayer book and it said, oh Lord, forgive us, miserable sinners, worms in the dust, unworthy of thy great good. I used to read that. I never really quite believed it. But I thought, well, if that's what they say, that's the way it must be. Until I began to realize and look around and see how wonderful this world was. Until I knew many, many people and realized how wonderful people can be, the potential in us all. Cervantes told of the impossible dream with Don Quixote, and we know that story. This can be a good life, this life we live, but without a possible dream, it's only half a life. And there are many of us who realize that something's wrong, that we're not living fully. We can blame it on many things, but wait a moment and let's see if we know where we can really put the blame or what we can do. There's an old colloquial saying, I've heard it all my life, you've heard it all of yours, about shooting for the moon. It means to try the impossible. It means to do something and to go way out, to shoot for the moon. Someone once said to shoot for the moon, said, well, if you miss the moon, you might hit a good-sized tree. And many of us know what that kind of saying means. We remember when we were young and we had big ideas and big dreams. And somebody said, oh, that fellow, that young girl, oh, they're shooting for the moon. Stay out of their way. But it is a fact. It is a fact that the teachings of Jesus Christ are impossible if you consider yourself a weak, worm in the dust, miserable, sinning human being. The teachings of Jesus Christ are impossible if that's the attitude you have about yourself. But why be a weak, sinning, miserable human being? Why settle for that? Why let yourself get into that picture? You don't have to. In our day and age, we did reach the moon. Those of us sitting here and thinking about this, many of us saw that astronaut as he stepped down from that steel ladder. We saw his foot hit the surface of the moon. It was a fantastical, fantastic thing. Yes, we can shoot for the moon. Yes, we can hit the moon. Collectively, we saw one man do it. And it was because of our collectiveness that he was able to do it. I believe that impossible dreams are blueprints that as they flow through our minds can be the prophets of things to come. I believe that if your consciousness has the ability to dream something, usually that dream is perverted the second it hits our conscious mind by I can't, or it won't work, or I couldn't do that. But if we can believe that it can be done, I believe we can do it. Now this doesn't mean if I haven't the build of an athlete that I should go out and say, well, I'm going to be the fastest runner in the world, or I'm going to jump the highest pole in the world, or throw the javelin further than anyone ever has. No, but I believe that there is a dream within you. And I believe that your body and your mentality and your emotional makeup and your place in life, I believe that that dream, your dream, can come right out of you now and everything is there. I believe that. And I believe as you think about it, you may feel the stirrings of this thing coming up within you. Jesus continually pointed the way for us to go. He continually said, "Why, you can do all these things, and greater things than these can you do." And then he said, "If you believe." If we really believe. The great Japanese Christian Kaganawa wrote a little poem, and he put it in such extensive, beautiful ways. He said, "I read in a book about a man named Jesus who went about doing good. It is very disconcerting that I am so easily satisfied with just going about. I think many of us are mired down in the I can't consciousness. We live in this idea of the impossibility of things. We don't look up." Now, you may have disappointments in your life. This doesn't mean you have a chessy cat grin on your face and you go around saying, "Everything's beautiful, everything's fine." No, because the dream that you may be after may be out here. I'm talking about the dream in here. Oh, you may be as busy as you can be. You're raising children. You're working at a job. You're making mortgage payments. You're saving your pennies. You're washing diapers. You're mowing the lawn. That's not life. That's only what you see. I'm saying, look at the roots. Look at your roots deep within you. And find out what's really going on. Many of us get so intrigued with what's going on out here that we forget that the real world is within us. Today in our society, maybe over the whole world, there's a shocking situation going on. I am just appalled when I see so many psychological and spiritual dropouts in our society. What is a psychological and a spiritual dropout? They're hard to recognize. They're the people that just keep on keeping on. They keep on in their marriages. They keep on at their work. They keep on at whatever they're doing. But in themselves, they're convinced that things won't get any better. They are convinced that there isn't any pot of gold at the end of their rainbow. They are convinced that this is the best that life has to offer. They've given up all hope. They say in themselves, "I can't." When we read the Old Testament, when we think about the Jewish people when they were leaving Egypt, which was the land of bondage, and they were on their way to the promised land. They had left the land of bondage and they were following Moses, and they had come to the place where they thought the promised land was up ahead. I think that's the way the human race is. I think we're between and betwixt. We are no longer under the influence of instinct, but we don't know yet truly what we are in the process of becoming. And there we are. Well, anyway, the Jewish people, the tribe sent out 12 scouts. And they said, "Go to the promised land and see what you find." And the 12 scouts went and they came back. And 10 of the 12 were very discouraged. Oh, when they came back, they brought great bunches of grapes. And the grapes were suspended on poles between their shoulders. They brought back fruit. They brought back grass. They brought back pure, crystal clear water. It was beautiful. It was the land flowing with milk and honey, they were told. But these scouts were frightened, 10 of them. They said, "Why, we saw giants. And when we saw those giants, it made us feel like grasshoppers." And they said, "Those giants looked at us as if we were grasshoppers." Well, that's the trouble today. There's too many people running around, hopping around, with a grasshopper consciousness. They say there's giants everywhere. Giants, I'll never get a better job. Too many giants down there. Never get better friends. Too many giants. Everybody's a giant but me. I'm a grasshopper. Well, that's no attitude to have, except there were two scouts, Joshua and Caleb. And Joshua and Caleb weren't afraid of those giants. They said, "Oh, they're there." But they said, "We have the means, and with our God, we can go and take possession of that land." Now, we often find the Moses and the Joshuas and the Calebs, and they're always out there on the cutting line. But we can become that too. We don't have to tell ourselves we're a grasshopper, and we don't have to be afraid of any giants. There are giants in the world. I know that. But you don't have to be afraid of them. Because as Caleb said, "We have the means and we have the God. We'll go and take possession of that land." And they did. Your promised land is out there too. But you may never take possession of it as long as you feel you're a grasshopper. The great missionary of all the ages in the last century, his name was Livingston. Livingston went to Africa. He saw the people. He saw the beauty of the land. He saw the rivers, the plains. He saw all of the minerals. He came back to the missionary board in England and he told them, those wonderful men sitting at that long board meeting. They were probably very wealthy men. They were busy with their own endeavors, but they had given up an hour or so to come down. And they were sitting there and they were listening to Livingston, and Livingston was telling them of his great plan, of the money he needed to build hospitals and schools and roads. He told them what would happen if they would send in people and help those people in Africa. And those men just sit there, and when it was all over, they said, it's almost time for lunch, so make this quick. And they said to Livingston, it's all very nice. It's a beautiful plan, but it won't work. It's impossible. And do you know what Livingston said to them? He said, impossible? Is that all? Then in God's name, let's do it. And that's what we should all say when it comes to this moment, when somebody says impossible. Is that all? Well, let's do it. We all have impossible dreams in our daily lives. I know that. We have sins that we haven't learned to master yet. We have illnesses that we haven't cured. We have inharmonies that we haven't brought into harmony. But so long as we feel that these things are giants and we are grasshoppers, so long as we refuse to believe it's possible, not much is going to happen. Walt Whitman sang a song once. His song said, oh, while I live, to be the ruler of life, not a slave, to meet life as a powerful conqueror, and nothing external shall ever take command of me. This has probably been the dream of mankind all down through the ages, but for most it has been an impossible dream. When Caleb and Joshua led the tribes of Israel into the promised land, the scripture says, and the Amorites' hearts melted. They lost their courage. And neither was the spirit in them anymore. Of course, the giants always lose when you take God with you. The giants always lose when you begin to dream the possible dream. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the power of transcendence. I'm talking about the power to lift you right out of where you are, and yet you don't go anywhere. It lifts you and gives you a new concept, a new idea, new attitudes. This is what we need. There's no use running anywhere. We live in the age of the splitting of the atom. We live in the nuclear age. I don't know much about how atoms are split. I don't know very, very little about nuclear fission. But I've learned one secret that I would ask you to consider in thinking about the possible dream. When the atom is split, no new power is created. When the atom is split, no new power is created. What happens is the power that's present, the power that has been there from the beginning of time, that power is released. No new power added. But the power that was already there was released. It was not the creation of new power, but the releasing of what was already there. Many people say, oh, if I just had power, if I could just get money, if somebody just leave me $1 million, if I could just get in the place where my boss is, if I had power, then I could do all these things. It is not the creation of power that we need. It is not getting something out here. It is the releasing of the power that we already have. It is stop being grasshoppers and start believing in the possible dream for each one of us. Unfortunately, the Christian church for 2,000 years unknowingly has taught us to feel unworthy, when it really meant to teach us to feel humble. An unworthy person is a grasshopper every time. A humble person recognizes the seed of God within them. Now, one of the things that always blesses me the most, makes me really feel good, is when somebody changes. Somebody comes in to see me. I've seen people come in here almost barefooted and become millionaires. I've seen people with incurable diseases cured. I've seen people who wouldn't speak to anyone. They were sour on life. I've seen them blossom out. I'm thinking of a man who came in one time, a great big burly Irishman. He came in. I couldn't help but see him. I was teaching a class over in Wrigley Hall here. He came in, and as he came in, he handed me a little slip of paper. I opened it up. It was a prescription from one of the doctors in the congregation. It said, attend Christ Church Unity at least once a week. And when he handed it to me, he had this look on his face like, well, I've took my castor oil for today, Reverend. But he got over that. I saw him around here all the time. You couldn't miss him. One day he said, I'd like to talk to you. So he made an appointment. He came up. He said, now, I just want to talk. Just talk about these things you've been talking about. Well, we started talking. We talked for about 20 minutes. I guess I did most of the talking. All of a sudden he stood up, and I knew he stood up because he was that big. He stood up and his eyes got as round as saucers, and he said to me, you know, that means I'm supposed to be healed and be happy. I don't have to die. He said it again. He said, you know, this means I'm supposed to be healed and be happy. I don't have to die. I said, I know. He didn't pay a bit of attention to me. He just turned around and walked out. I didn't see him for a long time. It was months before his wife called me up and made an appointment and came over. And she said, I want to show you the other side of that coin. She said, why, he came home after that appointment and he was singing and happy. He took me in his arms and swirled me around. She says, I thought he'd been drinking. She said, he wasn't. He'd changed. There was a transcendency within him. He had picked up the dream. Something had happened within him. This is what needs to happen with each of us. This was not a conversion. This was not a man who all of a sudden had got religion. He was already a religious man. This was not a man who had converted from one church to the other and so was saved. This was not salvation as most of us have been taught in the recognized religions. He was suddenly caught up in a vision. He could see himself in a new way. He had a new idea about himself. He was brought out and brought back into the stream of life again. He had found the possible dream. You know, sin may not be man's biggest problem. The biggest problem that man has is a lack of possible dreams. We have a lack of God attitudes within us. Take a pad and a pencil before the day's over. Write down all the dreams you've had all your life. Dreams you had when you were a child, in adolescence, in young adulthood. Write them all down. You know what you'll find? You'll find the great tragedy is that most of those dreams are dead. That too many of us have too much dead wood in us. Revive some of those dreams. Look at them. Most of us stopped dreaming at some time early in our life. We stopped dreaming because we started reacting in negative ways to certain people and conditions. And then we started blaming those people and conditions for our negativity. When really we should have blamed ourselves. At least we should see that it was our reaction to them. And we can watch and change our reaction. The real glory of life comes not from the things we command, but from the ideas we reverence. Not so much from what we have, but what we love. Not from what we look down on, but what we look up at. This is the glory of life. Look again at that list. See how many of those dreams are dead, but look again and see how many of them are alive. H. Emily Cady, in the basic textbook of the Christian Unity Movement, in her chapter on desire, says that desire is God tapping at the door of your consciousness. Desires can be perverted, I know, but when a desire comes on good ground, it grows and something wonderful happens. There are two kinds of dreams. We've all had both kinds. One kind is, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if... But it's impossible. The other dream is, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful? So why not? Dream the latter. Why not? Hold the why not in your mind. Maybe not this hour, maybe not next hour, but continue to hold the why not. The only true idle dreamers are those who have no faith in their own dreams. We need a larger vision. We need a greater dream. Look at your work. The desk you sit at, the shop you work in, whatever that work may be. Get a larger view of that work. That work is there for you as a channel, not to go down to work to see what you can get, but ask from work what you can give. And as you take a larger view at your work and you begin to give, you get a larger view, you'll see that's the meaning of prosperity. The same way with marriage. Love in marriage is the vision of what a mate can become. Love in marriage is the vision of what a mate can become. Look at the American dream. We hear it isn't working. The only reason the American dream isn't working is because there aren't enough people dreaming it. When enough people dream the American dream will work again and be as vital and beautiful as it ever was the last 200 years. Dare to dream. Dare to believe. In impossible dreams. A poet wrote these words, immortal but yet unknown. He said, dare to dream. Success awaits your magic touch, and God creates through you. Fling wide the golden gates to the realm of your heart's desire. Now let us pray. Oh God, fill our minds and hearts with dreams. Fill our minds and hearts with love and courage, that we might truly become a part of Thee, that we might know through the strength of Your strength and the love of Your love, we can see the vision of the Christ life on this earth today, that we may dream the possible dream with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.